الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته فقر الرسل فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته فقر الرسل فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته كنز الكرم مولى النعم هدي الأمم لشريعته أزكى النسب أعلى الحسب كل العرب في خدمته كل العرب في خدمته الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته فقر الرسل فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته سعتي الشجر نطق الحجر شق القمر بإشارته جبريل أتى ليلة أسرى والرب دعا لحضرته والرب دعا لحضرته الصبح بدا والليل دجى من وفرته فقر الرسل فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته نال شرفا والله عفا عما سلفا من أمته فمحمدنا هو سيدنا فالعز لنا لإجابته فالعز لنا لإجابته الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته فقر الرسل فضلا وعلا أهدى السبل لدلالته.
إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of Iman. And we thank Him Jalla Jalaluhu for making us of the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ummah of the Holy Quran. And we thank Him for this opportunity that He has enabled us to meet here in this beautiful precinct for no worldly purpose, aim or gain, but to work towards a heightened level of understanding of our deen, understanding of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding of the position of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those around him, and try our best to draw from our past for our present and our future. This period is dedicated, as requested, to the Seerah al-Nabawiyyah, which is the prophetic biography and history. And for the first semester, inshallah, for this first half of the year, we'll be addressing the, or we'll try our best to address the history and life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking at the condition of the Arabs and state of the world before Islam, and then after his birth, through his upbringing and development in Mecca, and then his prophethood and the Meccan period, the 13 years of da'wah, call to Islam in Mecca, and thereafter the remaining 10 years that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent in Medina. That's for this half of the year, inshallah. And then the niyyah, the plan is that we start with, or we address the post-prophetic period, the period of the Khulafa, the rightly guided caliphs, leaders, khalifas, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, wa karram Allahu wajha. And whatever may have transpired there that we study and narrate and try to our best to draw some lessons from. So first and foremost, why study history if we are living in the 21st century? People sometimes think that looking ahead is where it's always going to be better or brighter. They look ahead and they have this idea that what's to come is always better than what we currently have, or what's to come is what is better than what we had previously. Because we see the advancement of technology, for example, and we see how things have unfolded, especially during our lifetimes, and people who are alive for more than 30 years can speak as to how speedily, how almost in a forced manner things have progressed, where communities are connected and we have a global community, as opposed to the millennials. Do Hajj know what's a millennial? A millennial grows up with all these things available at the touch of a finger, and the millennial is not to blame if the millennial thinks that this is how things ought to be. And things are takeaways, things are drive-throughs, things are instant, things are take-a-lot, things are at the press of a button. So simple. And logically, with all access to everything so easily, we are supposed to be able to do much more. But we may be more stressed than anything else. Allahu a'lam. You know why? Because it's about the amount of information that's passing through our minds on a daily basis. The amount of information from all sides and corners that are passing through our palms, the palms of our hands on a daily basis. The amount of information that is allowed to enter our systems and even address and touch our hearts, because there's so much advertising on a daily basis over and over and over again. Without us realizing it, we develop an affinity to certain things. We start liking certain things. Or we become even more confused because we're drawn and pushed from this side. Then tomorrow it's a new trend. And the day after there's a new thing happening. And then there's a new fad, etc., etc. We need some peace. We need some time out. So for many, and logically for us too, if we are sitting now with these touch screens and I'm sitting with an entire computer system in the palm of my hand. I don't need the camera, I don't need the video camera, I don't need anything else. It's everything here. Like I got this funny WhatsApp message, like a pic, 2 days ago. It got me cracking a bit. I couldn't help. I was thinking about it early in the car as well, so I just smiled. Because instead there, I'm self-employed, right? Because you can do business and everything from your phone, Hajar. Mm-hmm. Answer your mails, send whatever, PDFs, Excel sheets, calls, video calls, into the world, just like that. Oh. So lots of people are self-employed. So the pic, maybe I mustn't say it, maybe it's not the pic. Anyway, so the pic said what? I'm self-employed. So if you see me talking to myself, please don't disturb, because I'm in a staff meeting. It's crazy. Don't disturb. I'm self-employed. I'm talking to myself. So people look ahead for some guidance. People look ahead and think, it's okay, I'ma just be what I'm in now because what's to come is better. And yes, on the one hand, we believe where certain decrees are concerned, inna ma'al usri yusra, really with difficulty, there's ease. It's bound to come. And whatever I'm in now is from Allah's wisdom. And I may not be able to see around the corner, but somehow, somewhere, there's some good in it for me. That's where some decrees are concerned. But if we look at models, if we look at help, if we look at guidance, or we look at guidelines and a framework and structure, a believer doesn't necessarily look ahead. A believer looks to the past. Because an example, the best of example, already existed. The best of example already showed us the way. The best of examples already showed us how he, in a small period of time, a short period of time, could transform an entire nation and affect the existence, affect the world, affect the universe. So that's history. That's why we look back. And we know it's not just stories, narratives, even though some of them are lovely and we could use them in putting our children to sleep at night. We could. But we don't study history for that. We study it because we want to learn. And try not to make the same mistakes. And try to implement what good was documented by our predecessors as per the activities of those of the past. So draw from the good and abstain from any negativity. And that's how we find our fortune. That's how we find our felicity, our joy, our happiness. And the Arab saying, this is for the Arabic students for the next period, inshallah. I'm going to do some dictation. The Arab saying is this, one of the proverbs, famous proverb. As-sa'idu. As-sa'idu. Man. Wu'idha. Bighayrihi. The fortunate one, the happy person, is he who takes lesson, draws lesson from others. I don't have to put my finger in the slot there, the plug, to know it's dangerous. I draw a lesson from others. I didn't have to make the mistake myself. I try to learn. So anyway, so that's history. These books here, last year, I want to try to do it a bit differently this year so we can grow. Of the guests we have here in the masjid, were with us, with me, with the center, with the institute last year. So we drew from this book. Or we tried drawing from this book. His pen name is Martin Links. And when he accepted Islam, he changed his name to Abu Bakr Sirajuddin. It's available out in different bookshops, including Sawans. He claims to draw from the earliest sources. Now I'm going to speak about that first. Where do we draw our history from? Because history, if written by different sides of communities at the time of events, You see different perspectives to history. Different what? Perspectives to history. We could be experiencing the same thing, but at the end, the way you narrate it may be different to how I narrate it. You with me? So he claims to draw from the earliest sources, which gives you some contentment. Now, what are the earlier sources? I think that's a good point to start from today. And then, also, not here, but elsewhere, I taught from this book. It's a famous book. He makes a different claim. He makes a claim that he draws from the most authentic sources. He claims to draw from the earliest sources, and he claims to draw from the most authentic sources, even though it may not be the earliest. The Sealed Nectar. It's also available around in Islamic shops, savants included. And I'm not an agent, I just want to send you to one place. But there are some issues with some facts in here. And we'll touch on a few things. And then what I have, what I tried putting together were questions for this year, different, not just me speaking. Questions, and I've completed about 75 questions on the Meccan period. Now you're not going to be tested, there's no written exam. This is for yourself, because sometimes you get lots of facts, and you take it all in, and you're able to regurgitate and repeat it, etc. But when you asked randomly something, it may not surface as soon as you want it to surface. So what if we addressed the whole exercise in questions? So automatically, you get some suggested answers. And some are simple, some are basic. Some you know already. Most you might know already. And that I can make available. Mali Maradio asked me to pass it on. I just have to pass it on to the admin. And then you can have them. The questions. Okay? So. Now, start with the lady. Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha. Aisha. So in Cape Town we say Aisha. Some people say Aisha. Some people say Aisha, which can be allowed. The Hamza can change to a what? To a Ya. But technically it's Aisha, and the Arabic students can see here the scale of Fa'il. Fa'il, Fa'ila. Aisha, Aisha means to live, to be alive, to be making the most of one's time. So Aisha means someone who is truly alive, busy. Anyway, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had a sister. Her name was Asma. Now you Arabic students will link and see scales. Asma falls in Af'al. Now you know it's the plural of Ism. And Ism means a noun. So what does her name mean? But Asma also comes from Sumu. Sumu, which means exaltedness, heights. So Asma means elevated status. So it's a lot of aspects of elevation. Okay? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave her this name, along with his wife, they chose the name. She had some significant children. Sayyida Aisha never had children. She never had children. But the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her a kunya. A kunya is like a nickname or patronym, where in males it starts with Abu, Abu this, Abu that. And where ladies are concerned, it starts with Ummu, Ummu this, Ummu. So she never had children, but he allowed her a patronym, a kunya, which was what? Ummu Abdul Rahman, the mother of Abdul Rahman. But she never had a son called Abdul Rahman. But she was the mother of the believers, one of the wives of Rasulullah. One of the wives. So every Muslim was a son or a child, isn't it? And every Muslim is a servant of Ar-Rahman, is it not? So she's Ummu Abdul Rahman. Get that point? Now? Okay, so, but She's important for what we want to start with. And she's important for what we want to start with. Asma, Sayyida Aisha's sister, she was married to Az-Zubayr. Slowly now. They had a famous son that you all know is a Sahabi, Abdullah. So he's linked to the father, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Because Zubayr is her husband. Az-Zubayr. They had a son, Abdullah. But I don't want to touch on, I don't want to speak about Abdullah. Abdullah has some other significance. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was the first child born in Medina. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr was about 5 or 6 years old when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him and said, come here, I did some cupping today. This is my blood. You have to bury it where no human being or animal can find it. He said, will you do this? He said, yes, this is him. Child. So he goes away. After some time, he comes back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come here. He said, you look like you did you bury it where no one can find it? He said, yes. He said, you look like you... The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, you look like you drank it. He said, yes, I drank it. Him, the child, you don't normally drink blood, but it's a kind. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, now no fire will touch you. And then Umar's son, who's Abdullah ibn Umar, was friends with him. Umar's son, Abdullah ibn Umar, used to say that whenever we used to play together and do some things, and there were certain things that he could do which we could not, then we would say, it's because of the bloody drink. But that's him, and he's significant in different ways. But I want to speak about another son. Because he is noted as the first historian of Islam. History. His name was who? What was his name? I'll write it on top. So you all can see. His name was Urwa. In English, it will be like this. Urwa, and he would be known as Urwa, the son of Zubayr. But who was his mother? Asma. Who was his maternal aunt? Sayyida Aisha. And where did he go learn? Who was his muallima? His khalifa? His ustada? Sayyida Aisha. So he was her son, and his son, but this was his ustada, his muallima. He would learn by Sayyida Aisha. And there are many ahadith of Sayyida Aisha that are passed on to us via Urwa. Others too, but via Urwa, lots. Urwa was born in the year 23 Hijri. So he's considered a Tabi'i, the 23rd year after Hijrah. So during Umar's Khilafah, radiallahu anhu. And born in the year 23, and he passed away in the year 94. Why am I telling you this? Because this man drew from the earliest works, right? Now what are the earliest works becoming there? And now people have a problem. Because the earliest works, according to him, was only after the first century, Hijri. I'll tell you now. But those people whom he drew from them. And they were closer to the prophetic period. And then he was interacting with, he's a tabi'i, meaning he interacted with Sahaba. And if you were to type his name in English, Urwa bin Zubayr, as a title, even in the net, you search, they will log him, record him, document him, list him as an historian. Get the idea? It's very important to know where we get things from. And that's the difference between whatever you receive here in this institution and whatever you may receive academically elsewhere. Because our scholars say, al-isnadu min ad-deen. Knowing where you get your knowledge from, that's part of our deen. We don't just qila wa qal, yeah, and then repeat. Naam. We have to know our sources. So we have scholars, I'll quote some other time who they were, but they used to say, your knowledge is your deen. So you should be careful who you draw your knowledge from. Al-Isnadu. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look at who you draw your deen from. So anyway, so close. And then, another individual that you know is Uthman. Uthman ibn Affan. رَجَلَّهُ عَنْهُ. ذُنُّورَيْن. The possessor of two lights. Why the possessor of two lights? He's the only person documented in history that we know of who was fortunate enough to marry the two daughters of the same prophet, Sayyidah Ruqayya and then Umm Kulthum. Not at the same time, he was married to Ruqayya and Ruqayya passed away, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got him, Uthman, married to Umm Kulthum. He had children, and we don't hear about them much. But a gentleman who is also known as one of the first historians was one of the sons of Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. And he's got a unique name. We don't hear this name. I haven't even heard this name in the Arab world. So in English, it will be written this way. Aban. So his father's name rhymed with his grandfather's name, Uthman ibn Affan. So what Uthman did with him? Aban ibn Uthman ibn Affan. Aban bin Uthman bin Affan. Aban ibn Uthman ibn Affan. Anyway, he's also known as an historian, and what we have of him, surprisingly, even though he's an historian. They're not clear. Other historians are not clear as to when he was born. But they are sure, almost sure, yeah, there's consensus, as to when he passed away. The year 105 after the Hijrah.
Sister.
Whose
son was he?
Uthman.
No, which wife?
Oh, my God. I'll have to search. Her kunya was Ummu Amr. Ummu Amr bint Jundub. Ummu Amr bint Jundub. But now your question is going to be, how many wives did Uthman have? This we may discuss in depth when we come to Uthman's seerah, inshallah. Because that's the plan for the second half of the year. May Allah bless our time and protect and grant health and strength so we can see the year through and many more good years ahead. Ameen. For dua, it's better to say Ameen than Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah means if Allah wills. Ameen means if Allah accept. Okay, there is one other individual before we continue. And you're going to find his name in works that you study, like the second year students and others. A tabi'i as well. He was born in the year 34. He's got a unique name. And in Cape Town, we used to give the feminine form of this name. His name was Wahb. Wahab. Wahab ibn Munabbih. Wahab. In Cape Town, I don't know if so, I know of an elderly woman whose name was Wahaba. So it's the feminine of this. Wahab. Wahaba. He's also known as one of the early historians of Islam. Year 34 Hijri, he was born. And he passed away in the year 114. The unique thing about Wahab is that he grew up in a Jewish family. Jewish origins, Hajjah. And he was exposed to lots of the Israeliyat, narratives and documentation of some facts and incidences drawn from previous scriptures. There were times when Sahaba, when they were searching for something and they could not find it clearly in Quran, as far as historical facts are concerned, Allah did not deem, for example, certain things necessary to be mentioned. Like Surah Yusuf, classic example, where the brothers came together and they said, let's either kill Yusuf alayhi salam, or cast him in a far land. If we do this, our father's attention will be solely for us. Allah says in the Quran, one of them said, don't kill him. Now who's that one? We don't know. Allah didn't deem it important. Allah says, one of them said, do not kill him, rather throw him into a well on the route of some travelers and some caravan can pick him up. So now like things like these, they would go to Wahab, or they would go to Ka'b al-Ahbar, also a Jew who accepted Islam, scholar that time. And they would ask him, is there any mention of this part of the narrative in your texts? Is there a name maybe that we can attach to this? So things like those, man. So he was from Jewish origin. And he was known to be very meticulous as far as facts were concerned, and he had a curious nature about him, and he had a good memory, so they would draw from him all that he could offer. Now, whether things were authentic or not, it was simply about the facts. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, speak, convey from the Banu Israel whatever you get from them, wala haraj. You can convey. If it doesn't affect your iman, it's some names here. Even the name Zulaykha. In Cape Town, we give the name Zulaykha. And if you find someone with that name, you ask, what were you told is the significance of this name? They say it was the woman near the time of Rabbi Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And they claim that after the whole incident in the palace, etc., and when Rabbi Yusuf was released from prison, that man had died, with Aziz, that minister, her husband, and they claim that Rabbi Yusuf then got married to her. After she had tried to seduce him those years back. Where do we get those facts from? Where do we even get the fact that her name was Zulaykha? Mm-hmm. Not from our scriptures, not from ahadith, not from Sahaba, it's from Israeli texts. So the thing with Israeli texts is this, we do not have to believe in it, and neither do we outright deny it. It's there. If we have something clearly mentioned in Quran, and have something clearly mentioned in the hadith, then that is given priority, obviously. It's given priority. Anyway, Wahab was the third of the three who were known as the first three historians of Islam. Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha's nephew, Urwa, the son of Zubayr and the son of Asma, he was the closest to the prophetic period. When was he born? 23rd year after the Hijrah. And he learned by Sayyida Aisha. And then by other Sahaba too. I can mention some other time a list of the Sahaba that he was known to interact with a lot, to draw from them and learn from them. But the unique thing about him is, there's no other title given for him except historian. And then you have Uthman radiallahu anhu's son, Aban. You can't forget that name. Aban, historian. And then Wahab, but Wahab had some previous background too, from the Jewish time. Okay. Now why is this important? Because like I said, that man draws from the earlier sources. He never had anything from these people, but he's got some link to someone who is known as the first historian scholar. The first what? Historian scholar. And he simply, all scholars will refer to him as Ibn Ishaq. He wrote a book, Hajjah. That's why he's regarded as the first historical scholar. Because he wrote a book and he simply called it the Seerah of the Rasul. He was born in the year 85. It's important for you because when you speak about the history, all that you know of history, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so, his father passed away before he was born, mother passed away when he was this age. Where do you get all that from? It's from their books. So you're speaking with a link. Understand? Now, 85 he was born. And the thing about him, and this is how the scholars started, whether it's in hadith, or whether it's in tafsir, or whether it's in history, it's important. He did not just gather facts and write a book, a novel. No, he would note whom he received these facts from. So every point that he mentions there of historical fact, he would also note his link to that fact. Who told him this? And who did that person claim to receive it from? And who did that person claim to receive it from, etc. And it would end with the Sahaba. You with me? Now. A man came after him, and he's simply known, he's simply known also as Ibn Hisham. Now, this is so far back, sister. This is so far back, Hajjah, that we do not have the original copy of this. We have tidbits. We have pieces of this work. However, his work, Ibn Hisham, was a work on his book is not original. His book is where he authenticated the narrations, because he just gathered information. And you know, in the study of hadith you're going to do this year, it's not just about the fact, it's about how authentic the fact is. I can say whatever I want to say, but how correct am I? So what he did was, he had his hands on this book, okay, Hajjah? And then he authenticated and he condensed. We have this work today, from start to end. Sometimes people confuse it. They refer to his work as Ibn Ishaq, because it was a work on his. 85, and he passed away in 151. The year after Imam Abu Hanifa passed away. The year after the Imam al-Shafi'i was born, 151. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa passed away in the year 150. It's the same year that Imam al-Shafi'i was born in. They never met each other. This is the year after 151. Ibn Hisham passed away in the year 218. Why are they important? Because he claims to have done what for you? Translated or presented in English what he could find from this work. This work, which was an authentication of this work. So he says, drawing from the earlier sources. There's one more name I must give them. Be clear with the names, Hajjah. Because you're thinking already how the other class number one now. Ibn Hisham's name was Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik. And Ibn Ishaq's name was Muhammad. Because Ibn means son of. You know that, right? Yeah. Son of Hisham. But he's famously just known as Al Imam Ibn Hisham. Or the Seerah book, the history book is the Seerah of Ibn Hisham. But his name was Abdul Malik. And his work is simply referred to as the history book of Ibn Ishaq, but his name was Muhammad. So see, 2nd century, in 3rd century he passed away. They don't have record of when he was born, there are opinions, different opinions. But he ends in the 3rd century. But they, so some people have a problem. If this is now your earliest works, 2nd century, say more than 100 years after the Prophet ﷺ, and here, beyond that, more than 200 years, how authentic are your works then? So two things they forget. That whatever fact he noted, because we have this record, and he authenticated his word, it's clear there, right? You can, I can send you a PDF even of it. I can send it to the institution, yeah. Every fact there is with chain of narrators. Who narrated to him? Where did he get it from? And then here, he has his link to him. His link, where, how did he learn this book, by which scholars, that links him to Ibn Ishaq. And Ibn Ishaq, with every fact, has a chain for every fact. Can you imagine how time-consuming it must have been? So not just chatting around campfire at night in the desert, conveying things. No, who are you telling me this, and where did you get it from? And then investigating as well. How authentic is this man? Is he known to flower things? Exaggerate things? Or is he known to be a straight shooter? So they have a problem. So how can you? And then, that's the first thing. It's chain of narrators. Second thing, they have drawn from predecessors. And they have drawn from people like Urwa. They have drawn from people like Aban, as well as Wahab ibn Munabbih. And there are other names too. I only gave you a few. Because I wanted to link you to Sayyidina Aisha radhiallahu anha. I wanted to link you to Sayyidina Uthman. And I wanted to link you to the generation of Jews out there who accepted the truth. And even though they came from upbringing of monotheism, because the Jews believe in one God, they were not as dogmatic as other Jews when they saw the truth in the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complying to their scriptures, they accepted. So Wahab was one of those individuals. We don't hate the Jews, Hajjah. We are just against certain things that some are doing. They're the Arabs' cousins anyway. Yeah? The Jews ones. Okay, I said there's one more name, right? And this name we end with, because it's extremely famous and is known for other things too. His family name, his tribal name is Al-Tabari. Write it like this. You can research him now. Search some beautiful things about Imam Al-Tabari. His name was Muhammad. And his father's name was Jarir. Jarir. So sometimes he's known as Ibn Jarir. Sometimes in tafsir books, they just say, Ibn Jarir says. Who's Ibn Jarir? It's him. And sometimes they say, Al-Tabari says. Firstly, Hajjah, he's known as a historian. But he's also a mufassir, a scholar of tafsir. And the first known tafsir that we have in our library of Islamic scholarship is a tafsir of Al-Imam Al-Tabari. He's written two major books on history, and we draw from him also as a historian. Tariq al-Tabari, Tariq al-Umami wal-Muluk, the history of the nations and kings, grandmasters. So further you read, see their lives, he has some unique incidences and occurrences in his life, and they all went through some marvelous things because they had to travel and sacrifice to get the information, and what pain, how painstaking it was. Painstakingly they had to get all these things, and they left behind. And the beautiful thing about what we have about him is his tafsir we have, and it's more than 15 volumes which they had to write by hand, Hajjah, and candlelight maybe at night too. And then his history book we also have. So also when this man says earlier sources, they will refer to gentlemen like these. Al-Imam al-Tabari was born in the year 224 and passed away in the year 310. So in which Hijri year are we now? 1440. More than 1,000 years ago. And he was also known as a rawi. He would narrate by riwaya, meaning he would not add his own opinion. Even in tafsir, his entire tafsir, Hajjah, can you think about this? His entire tafsir is not any deductions of his own. Allah says this in the ayah, considering the language, considering the context, considering, I think we can draw this from him. No. Every addition that he has there, comment that he has there, it's via a link, it's via a chain, it's reporting and documenting and gathering all that he could of the teachings of predecessors, of the first two or three generations, known as a rawi. Tafsir bil riwaya. There are different types of tafsir. There are some tafsir bil diraya, where people put their mind to certain things and they try to draw new understandings from the ayat. Are you with me, Hajjah? Mm-hmm. And then there's tafsir with riwaya, where they don't add their own opinion. They're only documenting for us, for the community, for the generations to come, documenting what other scholars. So he goes to tabi'un, tabi'u tabi'in, sahaba, and obviously ahadith of Rasulullah. Okay. Now, a question that some might ask regarding Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, what was the need of the time and what was so significant at that time? Why that time? Nabi Musa alayhi salam preceded Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and then Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many years between Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Isa?
On the side at the back.
Front of some houses? Driveway?
Inside the masjid. Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay, someone that needs to leave urgently, I see here. Any other ladies parked on this side at the back? They will check. Okay. How many years between Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Isa alayhi salam? Approximately 1,000 years. And how many years between Nabi Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You say over 500, so we say over 600 odd. Over 600 years. Torah was given to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. The Injil was given to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. The Torah is known as the Old Testament. The Injil is known as the New Testament. But by this time, the Quran, our Quran documents, by this time, already, by this time, yes, sorry, those who had access to the Old Testament had amended it, had changed it a bit, some tahrif had already taken place. And they were not following the pure teachings of the Torah anymore, any longer. And by this time, already 600 years after Nabi Isa alayhi salam, by this time, Trinity already existed in the Christian faith. Belief now in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, etc. That's one. So there was a need to set things straight. But one other significant thing is this. Between Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Isa alayhi salam, during those centuries there, other messengers were sent. Was Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, then he had a son, Nabi Yahya, and then Nabi Isa came, because he was also from Bani Israel. But he came with some new scripture. But between Nabi Isa alayhi salam and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, no messenger was sent. People were left to see to themselves, get back to the scripture, conscience, work with it, and be as responsible as can be. And unfortunately, the amount of people who tried sticking to their guns, which we're going to touch on, tried sticking to the pure teachings, they were always the minority. And the majority swayed. So this year, there was no messenger sent. A fatra. It's known as fatrati min al-rusul. Allah mentions this in the Quran. Surah Al-Ma'idah. That Allah sent Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a fatrati min al-rusul, meaning a quiet period, meaning an absence of messengers. An absence of 6 centuries. Someone recently said, and you would agree, he said the world was never more in need of a prophet than now. But no prophet, no more prophet will be sent. And the responsibility is on us. We try to convey, we try to remind. We can't change people, it's about reminders. And about being as practical and steadfast as we can be in our own spaces. To lead by example. Anyway, so then also what was happening on the side? So here you had Judaism. The other thing about Judaism is this, it was not a way of life that called people to join.